The New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina.
I have decided that Jacoby Brissett will be our starting quarterback this season. As an organization, we're 100% behind Jacoby. You know, the hard part is thinking in the short term and the long term at the same time. As an organization, though, we feel like Jacoby gives us our best chance to win right now.
A new era in New England starts with an upset win. Gerard Mayo, in his head coaching debut, gets the victory in Cincinnati.
And the Seattle Seahawks go to 2-0. They defeat Gerard Mayo and the New England Patriots.
Jets 2-1. Patriots now 1-2. Jets dominate.
Brissett given time over the middle. He gets picked off by Warner. Now he sprints down the sideline. Inside the 10. He won't be denied. Touchdown, San Francisco.
I don't want the fans or anyone to think, like, what is he talking about? Jacoby's 100% our starter.
Brissett with time fires down the field and the catch is
made. This is the end of the game.
Gerard, how would you evaluate Jacoby's performance yesterday?
It just wasn't good enough.
Do you feel like at this moment right now, Jacoby Brissett still gives you the best chance of winning?
Look, we haven't had our full staff meeting today. That's a conversation not only at that spot, but all the spots, you know, how we get better as a football team.
Drake, how you doing?
Gerard.
Let's go, man. Let's go.
Drake's a great player. He really is.
Drake May has been named the Patriots starting quarterback for Week 6's game against the Houston Texans.
Here on Jones and Keefe, it's WEEI, hour number 3, Patriots Friday, DeMarcus Covington, Mike Nwenu, still scheduled to join Keefe's Keys, 1 o'clock sharp, week in review at 12:45. So a lot to get to, plus all your bear meat phone calls. There's a bunch of freaks out there at 617-779-7937. I like some of these texts rolling in, 37937. Bear is greasy and bitter.
Okay.
Bear meatballs taste better. Yeah,
smaller bears taste better. That's so, the most messed up thing.
Well, so is that what that meant? Actual small bears,
I think,
or small
bears,
bear portions?
Like boo boo, not yogi, is what they mean. That's awful.
Gotcha.
Veal department. People like veal more. That's a baby cow.
Yeah, I do love veal. I mean, there's
you
no.
Would.
I,
of that course, is so on brand.
Speaking of which, somebody texted in Jones saying there's something thrilling about eating at the top of the food chain. Now you can play, is it Missoula Jones or a serial killer?
That is true. That did sound like a Missoula take.
It's a good point.
I want to eat as close to the top of the food chain as possible. Great white shark, bear, fellow human.
I think that I didn't take human off the table. Nope. I think the surprising thing about Jones' statement is that he has buddies. True.
That is a good one.
Keith, didn't you say you eat bacon because pigs are too smart to kill?
No, I don't eat bacon.
I'm sorry, is what I meant to say.
So bacon's so delicious that I'll still sneak a piece here and there. But like, I'm out on pork chops and pulled pork and everything else because pigs are incredibly smart. They're smarter than dogs. I wouldn't eat a dog.
You feel better eating
it. So I wouldn't eat a dog. There you go. That is something I wouldn't eat. Well, I'm more likely to eat a person than a dog.
We're not in Springfield, Ohio, so of course. And so that makes sense. So you eat a little bit of bacon, but not a lot of bacon.
Yeah. Well,
now I feel like you're just being wasteful. Like, a pig is dead.
The pig is dead.
Like, you might as well just eat a whole.
You didn't kill him.
Yeah, but you might as well just eat the pork chop at this point in time.
Billy, I might as well have.
Yeah.
If I'm eating them, I might as well have. No, but like, if my wife makes like a big breakfast for like the kids and there's like bacon on the table, I'm not like a lunatic. I have to have some of it.
Yeah. You're like, how dare you?
It smells so good. I go, get this out of my house.
Yeah, right, wait for everybody to leave. And they just
Six pieces here. What happened? Like, I have no idea. The dog got it.
Also, this is a good question. This is a real good question.
Yeah, please.
Maybe the greatest question we've ever had on the text line.
All right.
If you were in a situation like the movie Alive, so again, a survival situation.
Yeah, like Yellow Jackets.
Sure, another one. Who would you eat first? Shime, Curtis, Greg.
Shime.
Now, why? That was a very fast answer. Why?
So he's lost weight with the Waken 180. Uh-huh. I do feel like there's a little bit of meat there.
Yep.
And then he's probably eating some pretty good food along the way, right? Because you were talking about the seasoning and like what bears eat versus what cows eat versus whatever else.
Yeah, the intake is important here.
Yeah, Shime's eating probably a good diet.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a tasty guy.
Yep. Curtis is a gamey meat.
I would, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Now, Greg, you know, there might be the most meat there to ingest.
Perhaps.
But it's an aged meat.
Oh, see, that's not fair.
Well, what's not fair about that?
Well,
he's the oldest.
Is this like
of
a
the
wine?
I don't.
Oh, yeah, Shime's the youngest. Yeah,
I think there's something to your point about Shime.
Yeah.
I think he would be the tastiest.
Uh-huh. Hey, it's Greg.
Out of the three.
Then when you're done, you can wear his vest. Keep yourself warm. Dude's always rocking a vest.
He is always rocking a vest. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, more of these. The bear meat phone calls, we need to get to them.
Yeah, I want to hear about
this. I know there's a Patriots game and Drake May, and we'll take all your thoughts on it. But
Mayday.
The bear meat phone calls are important here.
If the bear meat calls are jamming the line, feel free to use the Odyssey app and leave us a message on the new Winer app.
Yeah, if you don't feel like waiting on hold with all the bear meat calls.
The bear meat are clogging up the lines.
A good way to circumvent that yeah. is to use the Odyssey app. Just click on the microphone when you go to the WEEI page. You can leave leave us a voicemail right there.
Yeah, yeah.
The Winer app is what we're
the Winer app.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brad is in Maine. Hello, Brad.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty great. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to address the bear meat thing.
Please, please. By all means. The floor is yours.
The guy that called in this morning on Greg Hill show about bear tasting like garbage, they eat garbage, so they taste bad. That's not true because everybody likes lobster, right? Lobsters
yes.
are the scavengers of the ocean. Mm. They eat all the dead stuff on the bottom. That's got nothing to do with it. It's all about taking care of meat.
But it's not trash. Fish. Hang on, but that's not trash. He's saying they eat literal trash. Lobsters aren't eating
candy wrappers
and things.
They don't eat trash. I mean, they're looking for food in there.
That's right. They don't actually eat trash. It's just like anything else. When I bear hunted, we used bait. We would put out dead fish to attract, and they would not eat that. They would eat donuts. They love donuts.
They love bread.
They love grease. They love sweet stuff. Bears love sweet stuff, just like Yogi the Bear.
I was going to say, as we learned, is true.
As Yogi Berra said,
perfect.
Some you win, some you lose, some get rained out.
It's true.
Famously covers
all your bases.
Yeah,
You don't tie in baseball.
No.
You give me a big pile of bear scat, I'm telling you.
You're going to know it's bear?
There's some garbage in there. Don't tell me they don't eat
shark. Like a great white shark, but people eat sharks.
Yeah,
you ever had a shark?
I have never had shark.
I eat shark.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've eaten shark. I like stuff at the top of the food chain, Jens.
I thought you
know what? It's like a...
and they eat like boots and stuff. Cans.
It's not good.
Yeah,
I'd rather eat like a swordfish or any other kind of fish. Shark's kind of like tough.
Marlin.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had a marlin.
Whale.
Whale?
I've never had whale.
I don't think you eat whales. There's a lot of them.
I think...
They could feed a family for a fortnight, but I don't think you want
to... RFK Jr. has something to say about that, I think.
Whale guts.
How about Jeff and that? Jeff, hello?
You know what he's probably doing right now?
What is that now?
I bet he's leaving us a message on the Winer app.
You think that's it?
Yeah, probably. He left us on hold.
It says he's a hunter who also wants to talk about bear meat.
Also wants to talk about bear meat.
Can I tell you?
Yeah.
We're bigger in the hunting community than I realized, Keith.
Well, we have a signal in Maine.
Well, this is true.
Yeah,
we're all over New England.
That's
but,
right.
You know, as a native son of New Hampshire and myself in Vermont, I think that makes sense. I think we play very well in the hunting community, despite not being outdoorsmen. We got the Patriots and the Texans this weekend. This weekend's Verizon matchup features what, Keith? What would you focus on for the matchup of the week in this game?
So for this one, no Nico Collins. So Steph Diggs might argue he's the number one receiver anyway, but now there's no debate. Steph Diggs is the number one guy. Christian Gonzalez has done pretty well, in my humble opinion, when he's been matched up with the number one receivers that he has faced throughout the season thus far. So I would say Gonzalez versus Diggs. I would look for that one. See if C.J. Stroud looks for Diggs a little bit more this week because of no Nico Collins. And how does Gonzalez do against yet another really good wide receiver?
So it's a good question. Did you see Tyreek Hill? I think we were talking about this off the air one day. Tyreek Hill on his Instagram said Christian Gonzalez is one of the best young corners in football. He'll be top three easily in the game very soon. So Tyreek Hill came out
of
that game
very good.
Impressed.
That's very high praise.
Which, yeah, I mean, think of Tyreek Hill, the human, what you will. But if he's impressed on the other side as a football player, I do think that's noteworthy. Because I would imagine Gonzalez is probably going to get a lot of Steph Diggs. I think you're right about that. I'd keep an eye on Tank Dell for a big play. You know, like Nico Collins has been hitting big plays all year. Tank Dell's kind of been, a spare part in that offense. I'd expect some long catches today. Maybe one that gets to the end zone, or Sunday rather. Maybe one that gets to the end zone. That's the Verizon matchup. Brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the New England Patriots. Keith, do we think the organization is on board with the Drake May move? We know Alex Van Pelt, or at least I don't believe Alex Van Pelt, is fully on board with that move. Do we think the organization feels good about it? You think the locker room feels good about it? And is it the kind of thing that can spark the team?
I do. I think yes. I think yes to all of it. I do agree with you. I bet Van Pelt maybe is the one that is like, needed some convincing. And maybe he's not all the way there yet. But I would have to imagine Van Pelt is more on board with it today than he was 2 or 3 weeks ago. You know, we talked to him after the Niners game, and he was really trying to still prop up
Brissett. How dare you?
What a stupid idiot I was.
Yes, yes, yes. That's an odd question, Keith.
So, I mean, maybe he was just defending his guy. But then you had another game where it was even uglier. And I know there was no pick six, but it was just a horrible game for all involved, but including the quarterback. So I bet when Mayo and whoever else kind of discussed it with Van Pelt, even he had to be like, yeah, all right, we got to probably try this. Whereas I think the players are probably all on board. Brissett might be a great guy, but that's kind of what you hear about Brissett. He's tough and he's a great guy. Where's the quarterback skills in there? I mean, toughness helps, but
you
like,
don't hear much about it.
No, like, what about, like, you know, accuracy or arm strength or mobility or decision making, like all these things? And those have all come into question this year. The decision making you thought would be sort of at the top for a veteran quarterback. And there's been several times where he's made some bad decisions. So I think it is a shot in the arm. I think there are plenty of guys, too, like Jalen Polk. Well, most of the offense really doesn't have that much of an attachment with Brissett. He was the veteran guy. He was named the starter. But all through camp, both guys got work. At practice during the year, 30% of the first team reps are going to Drake May. So it's not like a shock to the system. No. Like this guy that wasn't even practicing with him is now the guy. So I think there's definitely, I mean, a four-game losing streak, any kind of major change like this, there's no more major change for a team player-wise than the quarterback swap. I think it has to be a positive. Now, it only lasts so long. You know, you're down 21-0. Suddenly, it doesn't really matter how great it is that you have a new quarterback. But if this game is close, plus you're going to have the home crowd there, I think, going crazy, certainly a lot crazier than they would had it been Brissett. So, yeah, I think it's a lot, at least as of, you know, today, Friday, it's all positive down there.
Well, and Jerod Mayo agrees. Maybe outside Alex Van Pelt, I think most people are on board.
Yep.
He says renewed sense of energy as Drake May has had a good couple of days of practice. So that covers, I think, the shot in the arm. Here's the downside, though, Keith, in the last half hour or so, and I don't expect Stevenson to play anyway this weekend, but for the third day in a row, not spotted at practice while media is out there. So Drake May is going to make his debut against a Super Bowl contender in the Houston Texans, a defense that pressures the quarterback in the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Without arguably the most talented player on offense, Ramondre Stevenson. So do with that what you will. And yet, I say the Patriots cover the 7.5, which is where it was. We'll see if the line moves. But if it's 7.5, I want those
Texans
points.
Texans don't blow people out.
Nope. If it's 6.5, I don't like it. But mm-hmm. if it's 7.5, I want those points. I feel good about the Patriots keeping it close. The Colts kept it close, to your point, Keith. The Bears, the bear meat there, and the Jaguars all kept it close with Houston earlier this year. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback. We have the week in review at 12:45. We have Keith's keys to Patriots and Texans at 1 o'clock sharp, plus Patriots guests DeMarcus Covington and Mike Unwenu.
Gallagher leaves for Evans. Evans drifts to the corner. Center, they score. Gallagher, Zadorov had no stick. And it's 5-4 Boston now. Right of the net, here's Kastelic, center deflected, they score! Mark Kastelic's got two tonight! Zaka digs down for the draw, shot fired, blocker save Jeremy Swayman, and that'll do it. The fourth line sparkled for the Bruins tonight, and Jeremy Swayman, the Bulldog, in his first start of the season, picks up the victory.
Is that what we're calling him?
The Bulldog!
I didn't...
So yeah, you don't call him that? You guys don't call him that?
Oh, is that what Celine?
Yes, when Celine Dion
when she was in the dressing room, that's what she called him?
Bulldog.
Oh, so is that where that came from?
That's kind of a deep cut.
Well, remember,
like he was a Maine black bear, right? He's from Alaska.
Yep, he was training at BU.
Yeah, they're terriers.
Yeah, so
not bulldogs.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Georgia Bulldog.
Yep.
Yeah.
So she called him the Bulldog? I do remember when she was in the dressing room and read the starting lineup.
Yeah, she called him a Bulldog.
I guess he's bringing it back.
Still sounds odd.
Last but not least, Ingle. You better bite, you better mean it. Bulldog.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's why he goes with it.
I didn't know that's what we were calling him, Judd. I didn't know.
I don't know if that one's going to stick necessarily, but.
Well,
he's a bulldog in the negotiations. It's Jeremy Swayman.
Maybe that's what it is. How'd you think the bulldog did last night there?
Knocking off some rust, I think, is what it comes down to. And I don't think we're shocked by that. That's why it was a good opponent to do it against. Montreal's not very good. They came back in it because the Bruins let them back into it in the third period. But that was a team that you could give up some goals early, and then you could still pile up a bunch of goals and get the win. You know, because if Swayman opened up against Florida, for example, you might have a similar result to Corpusalo, right? But I think
you might.
It might take him a couple of games to kind of knock the rust off, but I'm not shocked by that at all. Like, okay. I didn't expect him to go out there and have a shutout.
So I didn't think Swayman looked great last night. It was two quick goals in the first period. It was four overall. You know, first goal is a power play goal, whatever. But it was like two on the first six shots, two in the first eight shots, something like that. And I'm not like terrified of that. I'm not overly fearful of that or concerned about that. And not to let him off the hook or to let Corpusalo off the hook. It is 10 goals in the first two games, Keith. 10 goals against in the first two games. And as you said, well, at least with Florida, that is a good opponent, although they got shut down by you-know-who last night.
Big Linus.
We'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, Florida's at least
best team in the league.
The defending cup champion. They're a team that you look at their roster and you go, okay, I get it. Like, they can pump up the goals. They did it last year in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They did it against the Bruins 2 years ago in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Four goals against Montreal with your best goalie out there and 10 goals allowed in the first two games. How concerning is that?
I think the defense needs to get their act together mainly, right? Because the first game is Corpusalo, and I know Montgomery put it more on all the guys in front of him instead of him. But the truth is that Corpusalo, when the games matter the most, won't even be out there, right? Like, on playoff time, there's not a decision. It's not like, oh, who's the hot goalie? Who's the right goalie? Like, what are you going to do? Is he going to alternate them? Like, no, it's Swayman's team. Like, that contract, trading away Ullmark, and then the contract that he got means it's Swayman's team. So I think if he knocks the rust off a little bit, and then I think you need the defense to obviously play a little bit better. They might kind of go back to form a little bit. So I'm not freaking out early on. You played a great team. I'm really looking forward to Monday's game to see how they respond and what they look like against Florida.
So I'm just going to ask you, who do you think starts the next two games? Do they start Corpusalo on the 12th and give Swayman Florida on the matinee on Monday?
That's what I hope for. I don't, especially if Montgomery is telling the truth about Corpusalo was good, then you might as well trot him out there and alternate for a little bit,
well,
right?
Don't let him play against Florida again. I think we saw that.
So
you give Corpusalo the game against the Kings, and then Swayman gets the game against Florida.
That's what I would think, because I don't think, I mean, at some point, Swayman will start, what, 4 in a row, 5 in a row? You don't have to start him back-to-back, so a lot of teams around the league don't do that.
I just looked this up. You don't have a back-to-back until November 2nd and 3rd at Philly, home against Seattle.
Yeah.
So, like, but in, like, the meantime, you should be able to manage it, and if you wanted to give him a couple of starts in a row, you can, because there are days off.
Because if it's 55 games to whatever, 27 games, you know, how many in a row will he get? Is it just 2-1-2-1, or is it like start four and then you give Corpusalo? Like, they have a lot of different ways they can do it.
If you're playing three games in a week, I mean, Swayman could play all three of them, you know. So I do think, not to wiggle out of the question, but I think that is indicative of it. Like, if they have off days built in, I could see Swayman playing 4, 5, 6 games in a row if they have the off days built in.
Yeah. But early on, because he didn't have preseason and all that stuff, then I feel like he probably doesn't start the third game. And then get him in there against Florida.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
So all I would say is that I can wrap my head around Swayman looking rusty and not playing his best. It's not like he faced a ton of shots in the game last night, especially early, and he was giving up goals. So while I'll acknowledge that, I also don't think he looked great. And the bigger issue might be the play in front. Again, in their own end, 10 goals allowed in
Carlo's
the first two
been
games.
Terrible. Carlo, we even mentioned this.
Lori's already a healthy scratch. Yeah. Lori got just crushed the first game against Florida. He's a healthy scratch already, right? Mm-hmm. There was no injury, right? He was out of the lineup, scratch.
He's one of the healthy ones, yep.
Okay, so, like, Carlo's been bad. Lori's already out of the lineup. You know, Zadorov picked up an assist last night on the Lindholm goal. Lindholm has, what, 4 points in two games? So he's worth his contract, it seems, already.
I like Lindholm. And Lindholm's the biggest swing guy I think they have, like I was saying before the season started. Because you're paying him a lot of money. He's the fourth highest paid guy on the team. So he needs to be good. So if he isn't, or if he just has, like, kind of an average season, then, like, where are you going to get the rest of your scoring from? But if he's good, like, okay, like, then there might really be something there.
Well, and the goal last night wasn't, like, a high degree of difficulty goal. I mean, no. It was more of, like, a stick-your-nose-in-there deflected shot sort of thing off a blast from Zadorov. He won 6 out of 13 faceoffs, so, you know, that's something to monitor with him when you're used to Bergeron being here forever and winning a bunch of faceoffs. So that's something to keep an eye on. But how concerned are you about that, their back end, where, again, Lori's already a healthy scratch. Carlo's been bad. McAvoy's scored in a couple of games, but is he worth his contract?
They got to find that right combo. Oh, speaking of McAvoy.
Yeah.
So, goal last night, he's got 3 points in two games. Mm-hmm. That is one thing that, if he's going to really be a top three.
Yeah, you got to do both. You can't just be
Norris
guy. A guy who,
keeps goals out of the net, right, you have to contribute offensively as well and be at least, you know, like a 40-point guy.
Well, more. And so his career high is 56 points. That was back in 22. And just looking at it, you know, you have some crazy numbers of guys that were like 100 points.
Yeah, Eric Karlsson a couple years ago, and he was a minus on the year.
So that's a weird one. That's so overboard going with points. But last year, Quinn Hughes had 92 points. It was a plus 38, and he won it for Vancouver. But a lot of times looking at it, like, you've had a spike over recent years, but usually in the 60s. I think that if he has...
Oh, you're talking to win the Norris.
Well, but even just being like a top three, not just get a vote.
I feel like
two.
He's been in the top five a couple of different times. I thought those were, like, you said one was 56. That's higher than I remembered. I thought he was in there for like a 40-point year one time. I feel like
I'm
you need to be at least at a half a point a game, right? 40 points out of 82, you're about a half point a game. You got to at least be doing that.
But that's
at
what
least.
I'm saying. Like, so if he can take what he's done in the past and add 10 points to it, like a new career high, like double-digit goals and then 50 assists somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah.
Then I think he gets a little bit more of the recognition kind of league-wide, but also a guy that you can kind of rely on. Then you don't need three lines that are scoring if you're getting a little bit more, you know, jump from the defense.
And so that is closer to 2 and 3 years ago. He was 46 and 45 assists those 2 years. He was 47 points last year, which is higher than I remembered. So, yeah, maybe the line is higher than that. Maybe he's got to be more like in that 50-55 point window.
Yeah.
So how concerned are you about the Bruins in their back end? Where, again, 10 goals allowed in two games. What do you think of Swayman in your first look at him? 617-779-7937. Bruins do get a win over the Habs. They're bitter rival there.
That's right.
And they get another crack at the Panthers on Monday. Meanwhile, and we were getting texts about this early in the show, my guy Linus Ullmark.
How did Linus do?
Who I can't stand.
Who did he play
and
last night?
I made the comment in the offseason when Ullmark went to Ottawa and Korpisalo came back. I said, Ullmark's going to be terrible there. Every goalie's going to be terrible there. They don't suppress shots. They give up goals. It's bad structure. Korpisalo will have better numbers than Ullmark this year. I said that the second the trade went down.
Right.
And I've reiterated it here.
How do you do?
Against the same Florida Panthers team?
Oh, so apples to apples.
Apples to apples. Korpisalo gave up 6 goals and had like 29 saves, I think it was.
Yeah.
29 saves.
Okay.
Ullmark, 30 saves.
Oh, so how many goals, though?
One.
One goal. And they beat the Panthers 3-1.
It's all about having the mind of a goldfish.
He did. That's a tired Panthers team. On the road.
Sure. Out-dueled Sergei Bobrovsky.
Not a well-rested team at home.
Stared down across the ice from Sergei Bobrovsky. Cup winner, Vezina winner, and out-dueled him.
Officer, moonlighting as an officer on the side, Officer Bobrovsky.
He was off the force last night Linus stepped in and said, hey, guys, I'm worth every penny on that new contract you just gave me. $8.25 million might look like a steal the way Linus Ullmark played last night.
I should find the comment. I read this earlier today.
968 save percentage?
That's
going to be tough to track down.
It's high. Look, it's only one game.
Let's
not overreact to one game.
That's
Keith.
The cup champion.
I notoriously never overreact to anything. Let's not overreact to one game, please.
Couldn't get anything by him.
Swayman did have comments on some of these new goalie contracts.
Oh. He's like, I screwed myself.
Here it is. No, he seemed very happy.
The
Seattle goalie got 5 years, $25 million, and then Ullmark got the same AAV, 8.25, with a full no-movement clause. So, like...
He's stuck there.
The kids...
On his own doing.
The kids will be in college in Ottawa, for God's sakes. He said, it's incredible. It's a goalie union, is what he said.
Goalie union?
Does he literally mean a union? Oh, you have this? Oh, Nick has this. Okay, I was just going to read it. Yeah, I didn't realize Nick had it. Let's hear it.
It's incredible. It's a goalie union. We all know how hard it is to win games in this league and to see guys get rewarded. That way, it's just awesome to see. And, you know, both those guys work extremely hard and couldn't be happy for them and their teams.
Okay, so he's happy for his guy Linus there.
Yeah. Goalie union. NHLPA is like, no, it's not a union. You can't say that. Like, you can't have a union within the Players Association.
No.
But, yeah, it's like, what are they called? Like the tight end club or whatever? What's the tight end thing?
Is it tight end U?
Tight end U.
Is that right?
They do some sort of tight end group.
Yeah, they have like a day in the offseason where they all go. Yeah, we asked Hunter Henry about it the other week. Yeah.
So all the goalies, the weirdos, if you will, of the NHL, they all kind of stick together, you know? And so, I mean, the money is going up on those guys, but he got his security. He got his money, 8.25 for the next 8 years. And both guys, even though I know there was like the goalie hug and those guys are the best buds in the world, both guys are number one goalies now. And they don't have to play every other night. Like, they can actually get some momentum going, play 3-4 days in a week, play 55 games in a season, and I think they both like that.
This is a good one. The goalie union is like the running back union that caved after 1 year.
Oh, that's right. We want more money! Like, we're not giving it to you. Okay!
I thought running backs started to get paid after that, didn't they? There was that one offseason where they didn't, and then I thought guys started to get paid after that, no?
I don't think so. Like, I mean, depending on how you view it. Like, Derrick Henry and some of these, but like, look at what like Austin Eckler signed for. Like, I don't... And they're all getting like 1 or 2 years. Yeah. I don't think they really cashed in.
There's also this text, 37937. Jones, you're the most anti-Bruin on the rate. I'm very pro-Corpus Allo. That's not anti-Bruin
at all. I was going to say, it's the oddest pro-Bruin thing to be.
He says, you're the most anti-Bruin on the radio. No. You always have been.
No. Well.
Last I checked, the playoffs start in the spring, you asshat.
Oh, okay.
Your hockey knowledge is that of a 6-year-old Ranger.
So let's put a pin in it.
Fair.
Let's put a pin in it. We'll talk about the Bruins against the playoffs.
But like, so that's fine. I don't think anybody's overreacting. We're just pointing out they've been poor in front of both goalies now.
Yeah.
And Swayman, I think we said, has time to knock the rust off, but I would just also say, out the other end of my mouth, he also didn't look good last night. That's all.
Both things can be true.
Can't they both be?
Both things can be true.
Swayman, we give him the acknowledgement he didn't have an offseason, his own doing, by the way.
Right.
But he didn't have an offseason, so he's going to knock some rust off. He didn't look like himself, and the Bruins have allowed 10 goals in 2 games. Like, I don't. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, these seem to be facts.
That makes me anti-Bruins, I guess.
At this point.
Which I've been known to be.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that level of commentary isn't the issue for it.
Also, that fourth line. Everybody loves a good fourth line. Bruins fans love a fourth line. Those guys are kind of that little hop in the step.
Bruins won the Ullmark trade. Kastelik scored twice.
Okay, well, if you
good Lord.
If you told me that guy Kastelik was going to score 2 goals all year, I probably would have said, I don't think so.
What was the anytime goal for Kastelik last
two
night?
Two of them.
The 2 goals would have been off the charts. I mean, they probably didn't even have that available.
And anytime for Kastelik plus 5-something.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I would imagine. I don't know.
Well, it came
I only bet anytime
States.
Goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's the only time I do that. So I didn't check last night. I wasn't looking at it. I was too busy getting my my Thursday night lines.
No, but those guys were good.
No, and you get frustration with McAvoy, too. I effing hate McAvoy right now. He's driving me nuts. Like, there is point production, but again, he's the face of that back end that has not played well.
Right.
And you even hear it from Montgomery. I mean, Montgomery has not thrown either goalie under the bus to this point. He said Corpus Allo played well the other day, which I don't agree with. He didn't put it on Swayman last night, which I would have thought would be interesting if they start piling on Swayman in particular, because you heard a little bit of that with Sweeney during the negotiations. You know that Neely's pissed about it. So if Montgomery starts saying, yeah, well, some of that, that's a bad goal, or we should have had that one, or whatever, with Swayman.
Jeremy Swayman was good. He made the saves that he could. Again, there's backdoor tap-ins that because we're not, our coverage isn't solid yet.
A lot of backdoor tap-ins.
Yeah, do not duck go that.
You notice that?
But
last two games,
so they've gone out of their way. He's gone out of his way to defend the goalies, which means he's not happy with the play in front of those guys, including McAvoy.
Right, and I think he might, if he's being honest, be like the goalies both could have been better, but the bigger issue for him is like those opportunities that were even there, and that needs to get cleaned up. Like, if this is going to be a good overall defensive team, right, if the goals allowed are going to be down, like, those guys have to be significantly better. You know, Nick might be on it. Carlo is a part of that. I also thought there was a time when Hampus Lindholm, I thought, was really good. This would go back a couple years ago.
Yeah,
like, this guy's a stud.
He got like top 10
for the contract.
He got like top 10 Norris votes, didn't he?
It was, he might have.
I thought a couple of years ago he got Norris vote, like down ballot Norris votes.
And then, that thing kind of sank like a stone, which I also feel like is why there's probably more pressure, and deservedly so, on McAvoy. McAvoy is the guy that is got the big contract. He is the guy that has, you know, hopes of being a easy top 10 defenseman in the league, maybe top 5 defenseman. But at one point, all the guys around him I thought were a little bit better, and now I'm like, eh. Like, Lindholm and Carlo both don't really excite me. And then TBD on Zadorov. He's a hoss, so I'm glad they got like some big dudes back there. But I don't know, I'd rather see Mason Lowry, to be honest.
No, same. I was surprised. I mean, he was awful against Florida, so I got it. But I was still surprised they gave him that quick of a hook and had him as a healthy scratch last night, which again speaks to their issues on the back end. If Montgomery's not happy with the defense, he's kind of the one in charge of it.
Right.
He's a lame duck head coach right now. Where do you think the Bruins are at with Montgomery long term? Is this a complete make or break season for him, not just making the playoffs, but advancing in the playoffs?
Yeah, because his start has been wild, right? You have the greatest regular season ever, then you're out in the first round. And you're like, whoa. And then you're thinking, all right, Krejci and Bergeron are gone, so you're not going to be as good. And they were still a really good regular season team, and you went around. I feel like if he didn't win a round last year, he's probably not the coach this year. I think that round last year kind of saved him.
I agree. And if they lost to Toronto of all teams, he would have been
on top of it. Toronto. Yeah. And a team that you kind of manipulated to get that matchup, too. Like the way they played at the end of the year, like they wanted that matchup, but 100%. They got it. And so that could have blown up in his face, but they didn't. And now this year, yeah, I don't know. Like, is there a time that they feel like is right? Because this isn't about, you know, hey, we're offering him $6 million and he wants 10. Like, this isn't a Swayman thing. It's more like, do the Bruins want him? Do they feel like he's the right guy? I do think the players like him. And you're like, well, that shouldn't matter. Well, it mattered with the last guy, right?
Yeah, so, not liking him got him canned, exactly.
So
yeah.
I feel like the players, like that relationship's pretty good, but are you getting the most out of the team? So is there a point in season where you feel like he is? Because aren't all the questions about the playoffs? But then do you wait all the way until the end and then offer him a deal? Like I feel like it's a tough spot, but the fact that you started the season without a deal – I don't know. I guess I wouldn't be shocked if they go through the season without one.
No, me either. And if you're here and you don't have one yet, I would be surprised if he got one. And yeah, I do think it's a make or break year. I think he's lucky. They beat Toronto last year. He'd be out of a job. By the way, Lindholm, Hampus Lindholm, not Elias.
The Hamper.
No down ballot Norris vote, so I don't know where I got that from.
Yeah, yeah.
He led the NHL in plus minus 2 years ago.
Maybe that's what it was.
And he was an all-star. And so maybe
2 years ago that's what it was. But the mid-year
ballot. Yeah. And yeah, they had an incredible year. All of his numbers spiked that year. But no, he's fallen off.
Yeah.
And to the point where, you know, you question the urgency in signing that contract. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on the Bruins as they get their first win last night. Jeremy Swayman, shaky defense in front of him, even shakier. How do you feel about that? We're still waiting on our guests here today on a Patriots Friday. DeMarcus Covington, Patriots defensive coordinator. Mike Nwenu, Patriots right guard. We have Keith Keys coming your way at 1 o'clock sharp, although I wonder how the guests are going to move that around, Keith.
We don't move Keys.
We got the grab bag at 1:20. And stay tuned, depending on our guest schedule. It's the Week in Review. Next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! We gotta go. Get everybody pile in the minivan. Chainsaw. We're going.
And worst.
You guys were as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
Oh, you better believe it. It is time for the Week in Review. What a week it has been. And Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We are still efforting DeMarcus Covington, Patriots defensive coordinator, and Mike Onwenu, offensive lineman. They hopefully will join us within the next hour and 15 minutes. But in the meantime, Jones, hopefully, we have our week in review, including Bruce in Narragansett.
Do you guys know what a quag is?
Excuse me?
Do you know what a quag is? Quag?
I don't think so, but because, I have my finger on the dump button.
Can you say that on the radio?
Yeah, go ahead.
No. No, a hard shell clamp.
Okay.
Saying,
A quahog.
Yeah.
A quag.
Quag. I'm holding a bushel, and every one of these things moves better than Jacoby Brissett. I don't know what to do. I don't know where we're going, what the plan is, but it's rough. I didn't think I was going to go this far, but I missed the Red Sox, guys. This is terrible.
Wow.
I'll tell you, that is a master class when you're not sure if someone's going to get the joke. You kind of explain it first,
yeah,
before you know, give everything away.
Beautiful.
Because if he just came on, it's like, hey, I got like a bunch of quags here. Yeah. They got more movement than Brissett. We'd be like,
hang on, what?
All right,
a bunch of quags.
I don't really know what you mean.
Wonderful setup. That's how you call a talk radio program, right?
Perfect.
There. What was it again? What was his name? I know it's Narragansett. Bruce in Narragansett.
That was Bruce.
Great job
calling in.
A+.
Patriots Monday guest Hunter Henry. We were in person. We were down at Gillette Stadium this week, and Hunter Henry was there, and we asked him about the starting quarterback, Drake Maye. Now, this was before it was announced. It was even before it was leaked out.
Well, yes and no. It was after Mayo was kind of squirrely about it.
But Mayo hadn't talked to the team yet, and Schefter and Rappaport hadn't tweeted it yet.
Correct.
So at this moment, Jacoby Brissett was still the starter.
Yes.
And this is Hunter Henry, though, on Drake Maye.
I mean, Drake's a great player. He really is. And he's continuing to progress. Obviously, there's a lot of intangibles that come into an NFL offense. From top to bottom, but he's continuing to work hard, continuing to get better, and he's doing a lot of good things in practice.
All right,
good foreshadowing.
I like that.
We all perked up when he said it. We're like, hey, he's a great player.
Hmm?
That's a strong thing to say about a guy who's never played in the NFL.
That's true.
And so, look, I mean, you can be pumping a teammate up, but that was
either way
that caught our ear at the time, and it turned out to be prophetic.
Yeah. Week in Review, not just limited to the Jones and Keefe program. This was one of my favorite moments while I was driving in listening to The Greg Hill Show.
Courtney.
Oh, this story is kind of crazy. Two women, Teresa and Tara, were flying Spirit Airlines from L.A. to New Orleans when they were booted off by a male flight attendant for their attire.
Mm.
So apparently the two women were wearing leggings and sweaters, but as one does, you get on the flight, it's a little toasty. They took the sweaters off, and the flight attendant said they were in crop tops.
Oh, they went sweater cape.
Yes. Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
No, and there's so nothing wrong with that.
What's the big deal with crop tops?
She nothing. Got jeans on.
Yeah. You show more on Instagram in the bathtub.
Right.
Well, that was a mistake. But yes. The statement that a rep for Spirit Airlines released, our contract of carnage. I'm sorry, not carnage. Our contract of carriage.
All right.
Wait a second. Can you imagine? You're spot on.
Yes.
Like, if you're going to fly Spirit, they make you sign a contract of carnage.
I 100% a few months ago flying to Las Vegas signed a contract of carnage.
You sure did.
It was the worst flight I've ever taken.
What happened
again? I'm still sore.
Refresh my memory.
Well, I got sandwiched in next to a couple of walruses against the window, and the leg room was like negative space. And I got off the flight, and I'm still recovering from it. That was months ago. It was the most uncomfortable thing in the world. There's no, like, TV. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no entertainment. There's nothing. You're forced to raw dog the flight next to these two manatees.
It does.
Oh, it's horrible.
Walrus or manatees?
I mixed it up the second time. They were both.
Yeah,
I'm sure they were nice people, but they were just like watching them walk down the aisle. And I was like, oh, no. But this isn't about them. This is more about Spirit. I had a bigger problem with Spirit.
And their contract
with carnage. I could have been sitting next to two, 20-pound people, and I would have been still uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It didn't help it, though.
No.
And it was on the back end of a Vegas trip, a red eye.
Yeah,
holy mackerel.
You don't want any of that.
No, but my knees were all jammed up into the seat in front of me.
So they were they had their crop tops going, and that's frowned upon, I guess, on this airline, at least by that individual flight attendant.
I feel like it shouldn't be.
No, I feel
like
it
shouldn't
be.
Why is that a problem?
Well, that's the issue going on there.
Here we go.
Let's put a pin in the Week in Review as we're joined right now on a Patriots Friday on WEEI, Jones and Keefe, by Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington. He's brought to you by Rate. Visit shantweei.com to learn more. That's Shant. And by McFarland Energy, a Lennox premier dealer. DeMarcus Covington, how are we doing this week?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. We saw Jerod Mayo make the announcement earlier this week that Drake May will be the starting quarterback for the team. He said today that there's a renewed sense of energy around the team as Drake May has had a good couple of days in practice. How would you describe how he's looked in practice, and do you agree with the renewed sense of energy around the team?
No, I would just say, like, I thought that it was a great work of practice overall as a team. For me, man, I've just been worried about C.J. Stroud. I've been trying to focus on him, trying to get our defense to understand the great qualities he brings to the game and what he's going to do on Sunday and get our guys ready to play. So that's why I kind of been my focus been on the related defensive side. But I do agree. I thought we had a great week of practice starting with Wednesday, Thursday, and then, we just got off the practice field today. I thought that was a good reps and execution too.
So what is it that makes C.J. Stroud so good? I know he won't have one of his top targets this weekend in Nico Collins, but they still have plenty of other guys to throw the ball to. But he had one of the best rookie years last year, and then it seems like it's picked up where he left off so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, he can really do it all. He can make all the throws. All right, he's calm under pressure. He can use his feet, anytime he needs to. And then, again, they have a good running game that they get going behind that, too. And then when you think about it, like, he does a really good job going through the progressions and, everything they do. And they set it up with the play action game, too.
I think the offense has scored an average of 8 points a game the last 3 weeks. What does that do, or what sort of challenges, I should say, does that present for you guys on defense?
Yeah, for me, again, I go back with control what I can control, and that's the way that our guys prepare, the way we play, and the things that we ask them to do. And in my mindset, we go out there and try to get a three and out or a takeaway. That's how we approach the game. So control what we can control, and then at the end of the day, we need to make sure we do our job to help this football team out.
You know, we saw Marte Mapu make his season debut last week. He played every single snap. What did you see in his performance? And also, maybe settle a bet that I have with a friend. Is he a safety or a linebacker, or is he something else?
I would say for us, you know, the flexibility and position flexibility is great for us. For, you know, whether we got linebackers playing on the edge, safeties playing as linebackers, stars playing as safeties, corners doing the same thing. So D linemen playing, being able to go down and reduce down. That's our defense, flexibility. Players who can do multiple things, that's what we kind of look for. And players, whether it's in the draft, free agency, however we can get them, guys who can do multiple roles. And Marte fits right in that in that deal. I thought he did a good job of communicating coming in first game. Obviously, you know, the work he put in the offseason and obviously, you know, during his training portion of to get back on the field, for him to go out there and play every snap, you know, was good for us. Then he did a good job overall, just overall his execution and communication.
Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington joining us here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. You said you want to control the things you can control. Keon White has maybe freelanced a bit on defense. He had a few costly penalties last week. What's the message to him? And if he keeps it up, is he going to get to keep playing?
No, I would say for Keon, again, like playing fast, playing aggressive, and playing within the framework of the defense. That's really the name of the game for our entire defense. And I won't just single out Keon on that. We have all had our share mistakes on defense. So that's one of the things we always talk about, being disciplined, playing penalty-free, playing together as a unit. Like all of us as a defense continue to preach that every single day. So we love Keon. He brings a great, great piece of the game for us, physical, mental toughness, everything, all of the above. So, yeah, we love what he does for us.
But is there a line with, like, repeated personal fouls and costly penalties? Yeah. Is there a line where you got to send a stronger message?
Yeah, I would say we always address the penalties. And then we obviously want Keon to not have any penalties. You know, if we can go penalty-free for, you know, whatever amount of games, that'd be great. But we understand that there are some times where you're playing hard and, you know, things might happen. And obviously for us, we hit on that this week, make sure that we're good on that, keeping strike zone on the quarterback or anything as far as like the horse collar that you're talking about, those different things. We hit that. I think those are all teachable and learnable moments for every single player, because really anybody can be in that position on the quarterback.
You know, as it relates to Jabril Peppers, is that something that are you getting? Is there daily updates? Is it weekly up? Like, I know he's on the commissioner's exempt list, but what's the status for you and just knowing what's going on with Peppers?
Yeah, I think that's a question really for Gerard and Elliot to answer that. For me, it's again we're just kind of focused on Houston right now. Obviously, we're they're in communication with Pep, but we're kind of focusing on it, and they'll keep us updated as the situation goes on.
Has he reached out to you?
Have Peppers? Yeah, I would say that's between Peppers and I.
Is there as far as Christian Gonzalez's season has gone? Do you at times? And I know he's got to work within the whole structure of the defense, but does part of you want to just match him up with the number one receiver, and, you know, maybe not for 100% of the snaps, but for the vast majority of the snaps, and just allow him to take away one guy? Is that something that you've thought of?
Yeah, I think for us, it's what do we need to do to win as a team? And so whether that's put him on a certain guy for the game, or if that's something we want to do differently, I think it depends on week to week and player to player on what we want to do. And I think we make that decision as a staff, and that's what we kind of do as far as when we go in game plan. But he's definitely a dynamic player who has ability to do whatever you ask him to do. So we're glad we have him on our football team.
DeMarcus Covington, Patriots defensive coordinator, joining us here on WEEI. Pats get the Texans. It's a high-flying offense on Sunday at Gillette Stadium. Drake May's first start. DeMarcus, best of luck this season and this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
DeMarcus Covington joining us here on a Patriots Friday.